I'm Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us on the line today is Ms. Noma Lungelo Gina, who is a Member of Parliament since 2009, and she is currently serving as the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education, a role that she has held since 2014. Welcome to the show, Ms. Gina.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
We're very appreciative that you can join us today. To start off with, could you please tell us more about your position as chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education?
Yeah, this position, it's as a portfolio committee, the chairperson of the portfolio committee. The portfolio committee that is doing the oversight over the department throughout the country when it comes to the issues of education, basic education, that is from grade R to grade 12, the issues of curriculum, quality of teaching, quality of education, the funding thereof. There's so much that we do, but basically we are overseeing the department on basic education.
In this particular term, are there any specific milestones that you want to accomplish?
Yeah, there are quite a number of them, Doctor. Like, looking at the education system in our country, yes, we have done a lot. There's so much that our country has achieved when it comes to education. But I'll just make a few examples. The first one, Doctor, when you talk of quality of education of our country, the system as such, one thing that is very much challenging is the science subjects coming to math and science. It's one of the areas where we haven't done much. Yes, when it comes to the access and opening up for a number of learners to do mathematics up to the level of matric, we're doing very well. But now the quality is to say, what is it that we can do better so that when we look at the performance, the quality of results and the performance, I think as a country we're still found wanting. And as a committee, it's one of the areas that we focus we concentrate more as to say together, each department, what is it that we can do to make sure that when it comes to the teaching of mathematics and science, it is made simpler and more learners are achieving when it comes to that. Because I can assure you, when we talk of quality, once we can master that as a country, the quality of education can change a lot when it comes to South Africa. And also, our system, there are things that we want to focus on as a country. Like one of the milestones, again, as a portfolio committee, is that one of inclusive education, Doctor. When we talk of inclusive education, more especially those education for learners with special needs, we feel that, yes, we have done a lot as a country, but still, that is a group that has been disadvantaged, that has not been getting equal treatment like all other learners. And as a portfolio committee, really, it's one of our focus areas is to say, what is it that as a country can do more and do better to make sure that when we talk of education, when we talk of the education system in the country, everyone is getting the equal opportunity and equal chances and the quality education that we are looking at. So that is one group that we focus more as to say they should not be discriminated and anyhow. And when it comes to the learning materials and the teaching materials, they are on par with the rest of the country.
It's interesting that you raise maths and science as an issue. I recall reading an article by the World Economic Forum, and they indicated that by 2020, in terms of the level of jobs, that most of the roles are going to be supported heavily within the STEM environment, so science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So those are crucial skills that we have to have our youth developing for the future.
Exactly. I think, as I'm saying, it's one of the milestones that we are focusing on because we really need such a youth that is more focused and more developed to face those challenges. And we firmly believe that basic education in the country is going to play that role in laying that background. So if we don't get it correctly in our schools, then we'll be missing that point. So as I'm saying, as a country, really, with the Department of Math and Science and Technology, the Department of Education, the strides that they've made together with the Department of Higher Education. We think those are the departments that need to come together and say, what is it that we can do to make sure that we really expose our learners at an earlier stage to those solid backgrounds, solid base when it comes to the issues of science, technology, and mathematics in the country. So really we are in the good direction, but it's one area that we need to focus on.
And the importance of basic education is that it provides that foundational level. And I read from UNESCO, they did a study which demonstrates that even basic levels of literacy and numeracy have got significant effects on the well-being of women in particular. And those include aspects like greater control over fertility, reduced child mortality, improved health management, and poverty reduction. They indicated that for every additional year of schooling that a woman or girl undergoes, it yields a 10% increase in earnings. In your opinion, do you think that we're doing enough as a society to ensure that this type of knowledge and information is preached in every forum possible and passed from mothers to daughters or grandmothers to granddaughters, particularly in underprivileged communities?
Doctor, I would say, yes, we are getting there. That is one thing that is highly praised. Let me make one example. As a country in South Africa, you are talking of UNESCO, you are talking of exposing more especially women and adults when it comes to levels of illiteracy and so forth. I will just cite one thing where I'm priding myself as being a South African. One program that the Department of Education came up with to make sure that when it comes to the level of illiteracy, we are doing very well as a country. There was a program, Doctor, that was introduced, that was named Karigude, where as a country we're focusing in making sure that at least each and every citizen is exposed to a certain level of education, where we're saying we're doing away with totally the question of illiteracy. And I'm so proud to share with you as to say South Africa has received even an award with UNESCO on that program because it has done very well exposing those adults who have never been to school. And most of the time, you find that in those classes, a number of women was always bigger than that of men. And by so doing, for them to be exposed, even to be able to write their names, to read the newspaper, it talks directly to these issues that you are raising right now, as to say, even when this mama, this woman is seated at home, he can even try to read even the newspaper that exposes her to the issues that you are raising, issues of abuse and so forth. Even the understanding, we believe, I'm a strong believer on education, as to say, the more you get educated, the more you become interested, and even your reasoning levels, you know, your listening levels, they grow. So for me, that program that South Africa has been embarking on, really, it has done a lot. It has exposed so many women to so many things, and the issue of literacy really as a country, it's one thing that we have worked on. And as a portfolio committee, we have been following that program, and we are so proud to report to you that it has done so much. But though I fully agree with you, there's still a lot that we need still to do in whatever gathering, social gatherings. Those are the topics that we need to be engaging with our communities, more especially women, so that they can understand, especially the ones coming from the disadvantaged areas, from the rural areas where they're not exposed to a lot of things like media and so forth. So those are the engagements that now and again, and more especially as public representatives. Let's go there, let's engage those people so that they can understand and know exactly what are their rights and what are it that they can do to protect and defend themselves in life.
I'm glad you mentioned that success story with adult basic education in particular, because sometimes adults can be neglected and yet they've been disadvantaged by our previous regime and they didn't have the opportunity to acquire that education. I'd like to share with you, when we had Minister Angie Moshekwa, who's Minister for Basic Education in South Africa, on the show, I vividly recall her talking about her mother, who said to her that education is the most important thing for women, and that she should regard her graduation certificates as a marriage certificate to education. So given that our program, Womanity, is all about gender equality, and in relation to education, how would you say that academics and education have changed your life, and what role did they play in shaping your career?
You know, if we're talking face-to-face, you'll see me laughing and smiling as we are saying that. I'm just saying it means our parents grew up, they were talking almost the same thing to us all. Because, as we are saying, some of that I have said that when I was growing up, my mother used to say that, my daughter, go to school, I'm giving you the husband that will never divorce you in life. So I'm really lucky just to say these stories are almost the same, really. That is how I grew up. But as we are saying, yes, I fully agree with what Minister Angie Motshekga said. I'm one of those people, again, as we are saying, how education has shaped my life. Maybe let me share with you again a very short story.
Please do.
I'm a woman who grew up in the rural areas of KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa. Very rural, right there outside Durban. And one thing that, as we grew up, the parents used to say, for you to grow and be above the level of life that you are living in these rural areas is to go and get educated. And indeed, I'm one of those who did follow what the parents were saying. When I grew up, finished my matric, went to the university, there's so many things when you are at that stage, what you want to do. But my father used to say, you know what, my daughter, let me give you this basic that I want to give you. After that, you can get whatever you want. I was doing math and science. I wanted to go into the science stream, sometimes social work. So I needed something that I needed to work with people. But you can imagine when you are doing grade 11, grade 12, you are confused, not really knowing what is it. But my father used to say, I want to give you this certificate. Then after that, you are at liberty to go and do whatever. I want you to go and do your teaching. By then, teaching was the profession, you know, where you were assured that you would never even go unemployed. So my first year, I went to university, I registered education, and I'm proud to say I graduated as a teacher, of which even now I'm still working with education. So I am saying education has shaped me a lot. That is where I could go back and plow back even to the community. It changed my life to see life in another from another angle, to say. You go there, you get education, no matter how little you have, but you can go back to your communities and save and change the little contribution you can do. You can change a lot. Just still on me, because you asked me personally as to say how it has changed my life. Being a woman growing up in the rural areas, doctor, if you can look at me, I'm a little bit physically disabled, you know. Again, that was quite a lot of a challenge when growing up, you being a woman with disability, going in the rural areas. Sometimes it's as if your life, you were just born to be in that area. But through education, through the exposure and the exchange of ideas and getting educated, that is where you could say there are no limitations in life. Education can take you anywhere. Now I'm proud to say I am educated, and I've played a very important role in changing the lives of those people who might not have hope to say life can change to the better. I'm one witness of that. I'm an ambassador of that. So education really can change your life to the better. It's just your attitude and how you perceive things and how you view things. I'm still encouraging young women, mostly from the rural areas, to take up education. There's so much that they will gain in life.
You're 100% correct, and I'm sure in the teaching role, that's where it gives you the rewarding opportunity of seeing young people grow, seeing them transform and become economic players in our society for a meaningful purpose.
And you feel so fulfilled, Doctor, when we have been talking to those young, more especially young girls, talk to them, share with them even your experiences. Few years down the line, when you see them having obtained their qualifications and working, contributing to the country, you feel this to say, no matter how small it might be, but there is something that you have contributed to the growth and the betterment of the country. So really, with education, I will always be humble and thankful just to say, at least you can play that role.
And Ms. Kina, given that you've grew up in a rural environment and that formed the foundation of your life to begin with, what would be your advice to women who find themselves torn between tradition and cultural experiences of them being a woman and a mother versus their own personal needs like gaining an academic education and then going on to pursue and build a professional career?
In that question, as a woman in that situation, it needs a lot of balancing of things, you know, because as we pursue our academic careers, by no way where we need to look down upon our culture and our tradition and the people that we come from. So that balance, it's quite important. And the more you become educated, I know there are things when you can look back and say, I can't be part of it. Let me make an example again. As we are saying, being a mother, being a wife at home, being a woman in the community, hence pursuing your academic career or being a professional and working, it's quite a tough one, but it's something that is workable. Sometimes when you are at home, you are in the community, you are a mother, it's a little bit of a different life than being at work in the boardroom and so forth. You know very well that you talk in the boardroom to fight for the rights of women, but at the same time, that does not mean you have to leave your role as a mother, as a wife at home. That is why I say it needs a lot of balancing, a lot of patience, and a lot of creating that platform of understanding within your family, within the community, because it's a fact, Doctor, we're still living in that patriarchy, the world that you live in, patriarchy is still there. Work in the rural areas where a man is still a man. In as much we must respect them, but we must find a way and means to show them that even we as women, we do have minds, we do have views, we can contribute even to assist them. It's quite a balance that it's so difficult to strike, but by all means, I think as we have said, again, education is helping us to try to make them understand that we are there. There are things that I know, as you grow up as women and we engage in this women's strike moving forward, it's as if you go back and wash and cook for your family, it's not up. Those are the roles that you have to play. But again, striking that balance, just to say, don't overdo things, don't be a slave that much. You know, it's quite a tough one, of which it needs a lot of engagement amongst us as women, going to communities. Those are the engagements that we need to be so open going back to the communities, for the community to appreciate the role of women within the communities, you know, not at all undermining the culture and the place that we are expected to be as women. Just to cite that balance, just to say, the saying that says the women's place is in the kitchen is not always the best saying, you know. Yes, we might be in the kitchen, but there's so much extra that we as women can contribute to the betterment of our societies and our communities.
I think we have to start changing statements like that. And I wonder, when we're talking about women having the opportunity to do more, wanting to do more, to be more fulfilled in their lives, and instead of having to manage and juggle all of these components, that we also need to be educating men, and perhaps men need to be doing more of these duties so that it allows women to explore and to be more fulfilled.
I can't agree with you more there, because as I'm saying, when we educate the communities, it's one other area where we say for a man to do the house chores, that man should not be perceived as a man who is not clever, as a man who is not man enough. That is the education that we are faced with. That is the struggle we are faced with, is to educate us to say we are all human beings. We are there to assist each other. So we are saying that those who are already educated, who can have skills, even to instill that in the communities, in the lives, from the childhood, that is the gospel that we must preach, just to say, we are here, we are human beings, we need to assist each other at all costs. And I can tell you, I can assure you, once we do that, if we can win that battle, less and less of women can be complaining on balancing those things. But it's still working on the attitude and the mindset, and really we'll call upon our male counterparts to be part of us in that journey, in that struggle that we win. Because it's not only the struggle for women, but also them, the male counterparts, they need to understand and win the struggle on their own. So I really agree with you on what you're saying.
It's a struggle that we're all behind. Today, we're talking to Ms. Nomalungelo Gina, who is a Member of Parliament and currently serving as Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chakachaka, and I'm UNICEF and Rollback Malaria Goodwill Ambassador. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in the struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy, a program against social ills such as racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Balka every week on this day at this time.
You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the African Perspective, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 802. Today we're talking to Ms. Nomalungelo Gina, who is a Member of Parliament and currently serving as Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In the previous segment of the show, Ms. Gina shared with us some of the components that the Portfolio Committee is involved with from a responsibility perspective, addressing quality of education, specifically how to elevate science and maths, looking at inclusive education to help address the special needs of some of our disadvantaged population. We also spoke about advances that have taken place in adult education, being able to empower people who were previously denied the opportunity. We spoke about the importance of girls' education, and we also looked at the rewarding efforts of being a teacher and being able to give back to society and have these young individuals go forth to provide a meaningful economic contribution. Ms. Gina, in the last segment, we spoke quite a lot about the hard elements of education, so looking at content in terms of subject matter and getting the certificate at the end of the day. There are also other issues that affect girls in particular, and we've got in elements such as teenage pregnancy. And I wondered, from your point of view, is there anything that is in place that we're doing to address that?
We are touching a very sensitive area, the issue of teenage pregnancy, of which we've seen it escalating in our country. And it's quite a sketch. Though in the latest statistics that we got early this year, we are seeing that number decreasing. But we always say one girl child who is pregnant at that early stage is too many. We have that as a problem in the country, really. Throughout the provinces, where we see a number of our learners getting pregnant, sometimes it's even scary because even at the level of primary school, then the question will be, what causes that? Are we seeing our girl children being taken advantage of by the elder men? Who is involved in such? And if I can share you some very scary stories, of which we as women need to stand up and say, how do we defend and protect our young girls? Where all the departments, we can come up and say, what is it that we do together to protect these young girls so that they grow up not being disturbed, for them to be able to have the brighter future? you find that sometimes really one of another thing that is a little bit scary and has been seen to be growing, it's where these young girls get to get pregnant, impregnated by very old men, sometimes in exchange of very, they might seem very important at that time, but those are the things that can take your future away. Maybe it will be at the exchange of getting an expensive wig, a cell phone, and so forth, and you find that they are being exploited. Most of the time, those should be girls that come from disadvantaged families, and they are seeking for better lives. Yes, we are here. I am saying it should be, we must be having engagements in public where we engage these young girls as to say the conditions that you might find yourself living in by that time should not determine or in any way try to disturb the future or to distract you from where you are going. Yes, we know everyone needs something good in life, but let us have focus. I think those are the engagements that we need to engage our young ones to. But at the same time, I think when it comes to this question of our teenage girls getting pregnant, whereby adults, again, it's an engagement that should be very open throughout the country with all the communities where we engage our male counterparts as females, just to say, these are the young girls, these are our children, together, us females and them, what is it that we can do to protect? Because this is the future of our country. So it's one thing really where also even in Parliament we talk with the department, basic education, as to say, what is it that we can do to protect these young ones? But we know very well that it's something that is beyond the department itself, but is a societal issue, is a societal question where all of us in the communities, all of us in the society, we need to come together and see how do we protect these girls, how do we protect the future of our country. It's not only pregnancy, the doctor, that you are looking at. It's a number of diseases that they end up having, and by so doing, the future of these learners get dented. So it's one thing that it's a plea as to say, Africans, South Africans, what is it that we can all stand up, hold our hands, and make sure that when it comes to that, we protect our young ones not to be exposed to such, not to be exploited the way we sometimes see our young girls being exploited.
It is a societal issue, and it's up to society to take responsibility, to have those open dialogues, to not let sex be a taboo topic, and that we get the right message across. As you said, beyond getting pregnant, there's diseases like HIV and others.
It's more than really being just pregnant. Pregnancy is very bad, but really they end up going nowhere with life. They are sick. They don't continue. They don't pursue their studies. They end up having these children that become even a burden to the state again, as to say, how are they going to be taken care of? A number of orphans, they will die at a younger age, these parents, and leave those children alone. So it is a societal issue that we all need to come together.
Moving away now from our young girls, but still staying with the topic of women and equality, I'd like to know what your perspectives are of women's empowerment and gender equality legislation.
We do have a very good pieces of legislation that defend, protect, and guide women and what is happening to them in the country. They are quite good. For an example, I will just cite one piece of legislation that is in favor of us as women. Before these legislations came into being, we couldn't own land as women, but we are protected right now with the pieces of legislation that have been passed in our country. The issue of women being, getting equal treatment, equal payment, and so forth, those are the things that we have fought for, and those are the things that are benefits that you are enjoying. There are so many pieces of legislation that you can look at that benefit women. But my question, my that would be very much fundamental. Are we seeing those legislation, those pieces of legislation being implemented into its core? Because if we can do that, I can assure you there are quite a number of pieces of legislation that are very biased to us as women, and if we can see such legislation being carried out through, definitely the lives of women can definitely change. But I would thank the women in Africa, women specifically in South Africa, with the struggle that we have waged, there's so much that we have benefited as women, and we know very well that we are not yet there where we want to, but there's so much that as a country we have achieved when it comes to that.
So in your opinion, we have enough legislation that is biased towards women to make them more empowered, but the challenge remains on effective implementation.
Definitely.
Now, Ms. Kina, turning towards more of a personal perspective, throughout the various radio programs that we've had, one of the questions that I ask all my guests who've made tremendous achievements in their particular space is about the factors that they consider have contributed to their success. Some people speak about hard work, others talk about perseverance, some talk about role models in their lives. Can you tell us, in your opinion, what have been some of the key drivers to your success?
Yeah, I think I would also follow mostly what they say. Our people that we have been always looking up to and the conditions that we have grown up through. I think even myself, that has been one of my strong motivational points. Firstly, really, my parents for me have been the pillar since my early stages. Those two people, I know most of the time we look at the mother. Yes, my mother has been the pillar of strength, has been my motivator. But my father, I think he has played a very important role in my life.
You mentioned with your father that he had been one of the people that pushed you to get the education.
Exactly. He has been one of the people who will sit down with me and say, "My daughter, look at the condition. For you to have a disability does not mean your mind is also disabled. You have got all the mind God has given you. Go out there, get the best that you can." So I will always be thankful to that man. I know he's no more there, but he's one of my pillars in life that he has given me. And also, I think the conditions, again, as I grew up in South Africa, that we grew under, where really at the time when I was growing up, the struggle against apartheid, the treatment that you could see your parents having to go through when they go to work and so forth, but at the same time come back in the afternoon, try to portray and give you that love, that balance. It's one of the motive forces that was saying, let us join the struggle. Let me be part of the struggle. Let me join those who are fighting for the good treatment, equal treatment, and opportunities to all the people living in the country so that our children are not faced with what we are faced. So really, I think the atmosphere that we grew up within the country is one of the things that motivated me even to go to school, to get into the struggle, to fight, and, you know, where you always say, no matter how little my contribution could be, but it is going to change the life of the people. And I think that has been a very strong point that has pushed me to where I am today.
Thank you for sharing those personal memories with a combination of people as well as atmosphere in terms of shaping the person that you became today. Now, lastly, we are unfortunately running out of time. May I ask you, as we close out the conversation today, to share a few words of wisdom or advice that you'd like to pass on to women in Africa that are listening to us?
Yeah, with women in Africa, we are saying, yes, we are still living under these hard conditions in Africa. But you are saying it's not time. We can't give up. The struggle that you are in, we know the important role that we are playing as women in Africa. Let us soldier on. Let us, you know, for me, I always say there's something now that will tend to be a saying, whereas there is element of the truth, that's to say, we as women, it's so difficult that we support each other. That's one thing that I want to talk to and emphasize on women of Africa, is to say, if we can hold hands together as women, we support each other, so that once you see another woman having ascended to a certain position, she can be able to look back and make sure that she pulls other women to go up. By so doing, I can assure the women of Africa, is to say, there's so much that we can do together. The power that God has given us, the strength, the courage that we have as women, we can persevere whatever hardships and difficulties that we go through, so that if we can pull all together, definitely as women, there's so much that we can gain and we can change this world to be a better place to live in.
Thank you for sharing that message of unity, and given that our program is Womanity, Woman in Unity, it makes it more special. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much, Sophie. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, The African Perspective, and we have been talking to Ms. Nomalungelo Gina, who is a Member of Parliament and currently serving as Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education.